We can contact Alistair Spence-Clark. Morning, Alistair.
Morning, Bill. Sorry about that. I don't know what's wrong with the technology today.
I think it's one of those days where technology is going up the tubes. It's something weird going on. It might be, is it a full moon or something?
I think it's COVID-19.
Yeah, gets blamed for everything. Let's blame Boris Johnson. That's always a good thing to do.
I'd rather blame the EU, sorry.
So, let's get going here. And it's acronym City Arizona this morning. So let's start with ERTEs, and that comes to an end, doesn't it, quite soon?
Well, actually, it comes to an end on the 30th, which is only 6 days away. So here we are, last moment saloon as usual. Mm. The government today is meeting representatives of the unions and the employers, el patronal, the bosses, and they're going to try and hack out, you know, what the deal's going to be from the 1st of October onwards to support the failing Spanish economy and the destruction of jobs.
Mm.
Nothing like leaving things to the last moment. So there you go. It's awful. It's awful. We have an awful lot of clients. We're talking to people, people phoning us up, asking us for help. And we can't say, you know, what's going to happen in a week's time.
Goodness me.
And these people employ people, and they have to run a business which does not depend on government handouts, but does need a little bit of certainty as to whether they can afford to continue employing people. And the EFTA, the regime which allows, like the furlough scheme in the UK with 1,000 more conditions, allows people, employers, to, you know, keep people on side, getting them government help, sort of unemployment benefit, but keeping their jobs alive. And it's becoming desperate, I've got to tell you.
Have you got a crystal ball that you can maybe tell us what are the rules that are likely to emerge?
I can make some intelligent guesses. That's probably inappropriate, but anyway, I can make some guesses.
Right.
There's been quite a lot of press on this, as you can imagine. Everyone's getting very excited. There has been a press which talks about the new EFTA. It will come into force, so we're reasonably confident about that.
Mm-hmm.
And it will certainly continue to the 31st December. They like their quarter ends in Spain.
Yeah.
Probably, though, it's going to either go to the 31st of March, or, and I've heard this today, actually from one of the Labour ministers' reported comment, it may even be unlimited. Which is very interesting, because it gets rid of these stupid deadlines.
Yes.
And what that means is that there will be conditions, i.e. if a business cannot continue to function because it's paralyzed by the economic state, that it will continue to be able to keep people on the books. It will have to pay some social security contribution for those people on the books, which is not exactly helpful if you've got no money coming in. But it will at least keep those jobs alive and those businesses alive. And for that to be an unlimited case, that would be brilliant.
Mm.
The employees will get effectively a maximum of €1,300 a month. That's
okay.
The current state. I don't see that changing. It keeps people off the dole. Their employment rights continue, their pension rights, their social security rights continue.
Yep.
The big question is how much the employer is going to have to pay. At the moment, they have to pay a lot, an awful lot. And I've got a feeling they're going to pay at least half of the normal Social Security, if not 70%
right.
of the existing Social Security, which is a major cash flow problem for businesses
yep.
when they don't have money coming in.
Yeah.
So that's ERTEs. ERTEs are, kind of watch this space. We will know probably, maybe by the end of today, but it may well be midnight on the 30th of September, and we will be
Crikey.
Sitting there looking at our computers and waiting for the announcement to come.
And in terms of people who are self-employed, is there any hope for them?
No, not really, no. I don't think there's going to be much for them. No, sadly not. The collective for self-employed people doesn't have an awful lot of power in the Spanish system, even though it's a very, very large collective.
Yes.
So, anyway, going over to another acronym,
yes.
IMV.
Yes.
Yeah, IMV. That's the minimum income system. EU started this initiative to force member states to provide some minimum guarantees. Now, the UK is relatively sophisticated in this. Germany, the northern nations are all very good in supporting people who've got nothing. Spain had absolutely nothing at all, unless you were a pension age. Mm-hmm. And these days, well, since June, the government finally, you know, much fanfare saying how wonderful they were to do this, complied with European requirements, and they finished with a minimum income of €462 per month per single person who has no income.
Okay, right. Right.
You know, it doesn't pay the rent, but I mean, it pays something. That goes up to 1,015 for large families without any income. So that's IMVs. And that, I think I'm mentioning this today because an awful lot of foreigners don't have access to this kind of information.
Yes.
And get into desperate straits. I mean, the Spanish community obviously has its same problems, but they have better communication. So any foreigners out there listening to the radio who have no income need to look at the IMV system, the guaranteed minimum income, ingreso mínimo vital.
Okay,
that's a bit useful information for some of your listeners.
But you describe the rules as mind-bogglingly complex.
Oh, they are. Yeah, I mean it's appalling. The systems have been in place for over 3 months, and the Social Security Office has only processed 1/3 of the claims.
Goodness
of the 900,000 families that are desperate for money. 600,000 of them still have not received any money. It's a bit like the OTIF thing, which took like 3 or 4 months for some people to get paid.
Yeah.
How people in Spain live when they have nothing coming in at all. I mean, you hear about the UK system complaints because of the universal credit system because a couple of weeks or a month late.
Yeah.
But in Spain, it's 3 months late.
Wow. Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, we can go on about that forever. Mm. But anyway, I want people to be aware of the IMV system and to find out, go to their Social Security Office and make an application.
But at least make the application, even though it won't be a quick fix, but at least make the application.
Well, at least there's money coming in at some point, even if it's 3 months late.
Yeah.
I wanted to quickly slip one in. I know we have some things that we decided to talk about, but teletrabajo.
Yes.
Have you heard of teletrabajo? Right. Well, the government's got some new rules on that.
We talked about El País yesterday, and I'm absolutely delighted that all the employers have to pay for all the equipment I'm using. That's fantastic. I'm ordering new mixing desks, laptops. No, I'm not really.
this piece of legislation, which I consider to be completely and utterly unnecessary and a waste of time, and total virtue signalling by the government trying to say, you know, how wonderful we are to protect employees. Actually, all employers and employees have already made their arrangements.
Yeah.
You know, this is 3 months too late.
Yes,
it's not necessary at all.
You
know, employees are sensible. They, and if they're not sensible, I'm sure the employees will go and find another job.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, we do not need this sort of law. I mean, it's ridiculous. Mm. First of all, it doesn't apply to anybody in the COVID-19 period because it's an exceptional thing. Therefore, it's excluded.
Right.
And it doesn't regulate properly the costs of an employee. They've completely swerved past that nasty one. They said, yes, you've got to have a computer, you've got to have a printer and all the rest of it, you've got to have the equipment. But when it comes to, you know, like electricity costs and all the other costs that an employee might have at home, it completely misses that one because they didn't want to get into it. And they didn't want to get into it because actually they shouldn't have got into it and they shouldn't have actually passed this unnecessary piece of law.
Mm.
Anyway, that's me. I don't like unnecessary laws. Spanish love that.
On the face of it, it looks like a win-win for the employee because according to the El País article, and we spoke with Melissa about it yesterday, it was effectively saying you know, that as long as you make an agreement with your employer, then you will be covered for any equipment that you use to make you work from home, which is quite an extraordinary statement.
Well, hang on. Will an employer say, you know, I'm going to buy you a new mixing desk, Bill?
No.
No. Will an employer say, look, I'll buy you an inkjet printer so you can print out bits of paper so you can do your work properly? Yes.
Yeah.
Will an employer say, I'll pay for the ink? For the inkjet, yes, of course. Otherwise, you can't do your job.
Yeah.
Will an employer say, "Look, I'll lend you a decent mobile phone so you can be online"? Yes. Will an employer say, "I'll give you a laptop computer to use at home whilst this crisis is going, so that you can work home"? Yes. Do you need to have legislation that says, you know, don't forget to breathe?
Yeah.
You know, this is unnecessary legislation, which of course this government loves. And as I said, it's virtue signalling, saying to, you know, self-employed people, sorry, employed people at home, how wonderful they are for being protected. So everybody's reacting to this piece of legislation, saying how wonderful for the government to protect people at home.
Yeah.
Nonsense.
Yeah, yeah. So, and, of course, I'm waiting for the first airline pilot to make a claim under that scheme. That could be interesting, couldn't it?
Well, I need a plane.
Exactly. Now, more acronyms, and we've discussed this one, but you've got something, a personal kind of experience of TIEs.
Yeah, I wanted to say a few words about TIEs because we are doing an awful lot of TIEs, and I am recommending to people, go and get your TIE, even if the ambassador of the United Kingdom in Spain says don't bother. I don't trust the system. Forgive me. I've been here too long. if it can go wrong, it will go wrong. Yeah. And as Paco's Law says, it will go wrong at the worst possible time. Mm. I think that you know, people should get their paperwork in order. Now, if you've got on a residency and you've got a green A4 yep. thing or a little card,
yeah.
Okay, you can get your new one next year, but I don't trust the system. If you've got time to get it done, or the money to pay to get somebody else to do it, then do it. Don't take a risk. I don't take a risk with things like this. I actually need a TIE because I travel quite a lot of Europe, and I don't want to have to explain to a Czech border guard in my non-existent Czech that I'm entitled to move around Europe.
Well, you might have more problems than that, Alistair, because Myra from the CAB was telling us last week that one of her colleagues rocked up at Gibraltar Airport on the Spanish side, gave yes. them her new shiny TIE, and not one of them had a clue what it actually was. And they spent 10 minutes arguing among themselves as to what it could possibly be.
Isn't that wonderful? Well, you know, you're going to get this. Whenever this changes, chaos. Anyway, my message to people living in Spain is, for goodness sake, if you don't have a residencia, get one now.
Oh, yeah,
don't waste
absolutely.
Any time. Don't waste. Honestly, people are. Some people just thought, oh, well, don't worry about that. Leave that till next year. Mm. No, get it now. If you've got an old style residencia, if nothing gets you stressed, if you feel lucky, do nothing. Okay, I don't think it's a good idea personally. Mm. And if you are an irregular worker, now we all know what they are. We are in Spain. Mm. Irregular workers, irregular self-employed people. You know, for God's sake, get yourself regularized.
Yeah.
Because if you get, you know, if you sign on as a self-employed person paying 60 euros a month in November, you're guaranteed to be able to work anywhere in Europe for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Without work permits, just by getting into the system as a self-employed person paying 60 euros a month.
Yeah.
You know, then you apply for your TIE, do it quickly, and with your TIE, as a person in the Spanish system, fully, you can work anywhere in Europe for the rest of your life. And your family is also entitled to massive, massive benefits compared to somebody who's in the UK and stays in the UK.
And to be absolutely clear about the TIE situation, if you currently have a residency, then there is no obligation whatsoever, and in fact, no real advantage to getting a TIE, except that you've got the job done. But if you now go to apply for residency, you will automatically have to begin the process for the TIE for the first time, which is a more complex process.
It's a three-stage process.
Yeah,
the first
yeah.
stage is the most important one. People like me can do it online for their clients. It's not a difficult process, but it's very confusing.
Yeah.
It's very complicated. It's got little tricks in there, and you know, if you know what you're doing, it's relatively easy. If you don't know what you're doing, you can waste immense amounts of time.
Yeah.
Driving license, of course. You know, if you can, if you're in Spain, swap it. Don't stay with your UK one. Okay.
And you can't even begin that process unless you've got your new TIE or residency anyway. So.
You've got to have a residency.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not even the first stage is an application to the Extranjería department in Malaga or Cadiz or wherever. And they send you a certificate that says you're entitled, but you've got to go to the police station to complete the process.
Yeah, sure.
You would have hoped that that piece of paper from the Extranjería department would give you the right to change your driving license there and then.
Mm.
But it doesn't.
No.
That trick was missed. I think at this sort of time, you know, with all the problems of ERTE's, the economy and all the rest, I wanted to just, I don't know, have a little chat about helping businesses. Because, you know, at the end of the day, they're the employers, they're the wealth generators, and there are a lot of foreigners here with businesses, and they're scratching their heads wondering what to do. I'd love to be able to give some specific guidelines over the phone, but that's quite hard. All I can say is that every business needs to look very, very carefully at the way it's working and use all the resources it can find to generate some cash to get it through this time. The government, for example, had a process called the ICO loans, or eco loans.
Right.
Have you heard of those, Bill?
Mm-hmm.
The eco loans are kind of government guaranteed business loans. Even self-employed people can get them as well. And the banks were required to make these loans available to legitimate businesses who were in reasonable condition to give them the cash flow to, you know, pay the social security on the outstairs or whatever. The problem with the expatriate community is that they talk to the bank. The bank basically doesn't want to lend the money because they can't be bothered, because the profit margin isn't very big because it's a state-sponsored thing.
Mm.
And they sort of redirect them and say, no, we haven't got any left, or go away. You have to persevere. And having a little help from a professional advisor is, or at least encouragement, and to help with introductions to banks and all the rest of it, is very important. And I wanted to tell the businessmen out there, business people out there, that you need to talk to your advisor and get information from them about how to raise money from the banks, how to use the FDES system to reduce your labour costs to the minimum, if necessary to dismiss staff or terminate contracts. But they need cogent, clear, creative advice to help them survive. The businesses will do, business people are very, very good at keeping all their balls in the air. But they do need professional help every now and then just to guide them, because they're in a foreign country, they're not reading papers which kind of help them with stuff like this. So the professional advisor becomes more and more important.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay.
So I just wanted to put that out there.
We've got exactly 3 minutes. What do you think you can cover of what we've got left in 3 minutes, Alistair?
You're being mean to me with time.
No, I'm not, because the news is coming on and I can't stop the news. So off you go. If you want to do the news for us, fill your boots.
I'll give you some latest tax news.
Something happy right to end on. Yes, why not?
Yeah, okay, tax news. Tax inspections, beware. We've had a big campaign for tax inspections into individuals who live in Spain. I've gone on about this endlessly in the past, but it's become a real problem. The tax inspections were into 2015, looking back in time, because that's the last year that the tax office can go for you.
Right.
They're just about to start again. This time they're going to focus on 2016. So, if you're living in Spain, you may well have a problem, okay? And you need to regularise. And this is part of the business of Brexit as well, because you're going to have to get your residency sorted out.
Mm.
So, anyway, don't be frightened. Just get on with it. That's my message. Now, some good news.
Yes,
good news. The EU has been beating up Spain,
indeed.
Spain is very, very abusive towards its taxpayers, as we know, sadly.
Never.
The M720 regime is being seriously criticised, and the Spanish government is now being prosecuted by the EU Commission on the basis that it needs to refund money and to compensate taxpayers who've been abused by the M720 rules.
And what would define being abused then?
Well, being fined.
Okay.
I mean, fines are 10,000 euros plus.
Yeah.
So that's number one. And secondly, the prescription rules, where basically all your sins are forgotten after 4 years. Under the M720 regime, there was no deadline. The 4 years were throughout the window. So if you'd committed a naughty 10 years ago, they could go for you on something 10 years ago.
Wow.
And the EU says, no, you can't do that. So it's great to see the EU Commission acting against a rogue government, which I consider Spain to be in these things. Also, the M179, which is a less known thing. Now, this is where Airbnb have to notify the tax office of everyone on their books. That's been suspended because, again, that broke EU law. So what we've got is the EU Commission looking very carefully at Spain and saying, behave yourselves. And they're looking at fining Spain too. And
will Spain behave themselves?
No. But if they are fined enough, okay,
yeah,
and the Spanish press takes this up and actually does some active journalism on this respect, in terms of, you know, really making the public aware of the abuse of the public by the Spanish government, then it will change the way the Spanish government behaves. You know, the press has got to be a bit more aggressive.
Yeah.
I'm not saying the British and the German press are wonderful for some of the articles they write, but at least it keeps the government to account. I don't feel that happens in Spain quite enough.
No, I think that's probably a fair point. So a lot to cover there, and people, of course, can get more information from your website or indeed by giving you a call. Give us the details on this.
Yeah. It's our office is 952-822-2943, and of course, Spence Clark. We're based in Marbella, but we deal with the whole of Spain. We speak English, obviously, and we're just a good old firm of chartered accountants, just like you'd find anywhere in the UK. But we've been here for 35 years now, so we are more Spanish than anything else, but with standards that you'd be proud of in the UK.
Fantastic. Okay? Well, a pleasure to talk, as always.